Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, saints and brethren. Philippians 2:7. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I would like to address a simple and faithfully ignored fact in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. A simple fact and example set by Paul, which should be in the hearts, minds, and spirits of those in ministry, and to those simple followers of Jesus Christ today. This simple example is so simple as to be totally ignored by our ministerial establishment today. Simplicity usually is. I would like to bring this simple fact to the attention of those who may receive understanding as to what this implies when it comes to the delivery and the receipt of what is called sound doctrine. Paul and the apostles gave a precious key to what we, as followers of Jesus Christ, should be listening to when preached to by any who call themselves preachers or teachers or evangelists. Paul set the standard, and a godly one, for those who would follow after, being called to preach of Christ, and who teach and guide the sheep in their walk of faith. To give a short commentary on 1 Corinthians 2, the apostle makes an apology for his manner of preaching, gives a reason why he adopted that manner. In verse 2 through 5, he shows that this preaching, notwithstanding it was not with excellence or human speech or wisdom, yet was the mysterious wisdom of God, which the princes of this world did not know, and which the Spirit of God alone could reveal. Verse 6 through 10. It is the Spirit of God only that can reveal the things of God. Verse 11. The apostles of Christ know the things of God by the Spirit of God, and teach them, not in the words of man's wisdom, but in the words of that Spirit. Verse 12 and 13. The natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. Verse 14. But the spiritual man can discern and teach them, because he has the mind of Christ. Verse 15 and 16. The key which I would like to hold up is found in verse 2, at least the key to what I'm talking about today. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. To expand on this verse, I determined not to know anything among you, satisfied that the gospel of God could alone make you wise unto salvation. I determined to cultivate no other knowledge, and to teach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified as the foundation of all true wisdom, piety, and happiness. No other doctrine shall I proclaim among you. How many doctrines are being proclaimed amongst us today, saints? How many? Space preaching, earth teaching, politics, conspiracies. Well, Paul, in preaching Jesus Christ as the foundation of all true wisdom, piety, and happiness, was also, as you can read in Scripture, is teaching us the way, teaching us the walk, teaching us about the road. And we preachers, who have sheep that we say we're responsible for, had better be looking out for your sheep's souls in Christ, not how much they're donating to the ministry. Paul determined not to cultivate any other knowledge but Jesus Christ and the road his followers walk. How they walk it, why they walk it. The walk is at the heart of the preaching of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Last days' dreams and visions and prophecies are not. And if anyone doesn't like what I just said, shake your own dust off and be gone. I stand with Paul. and I also stand accountable to Christ for my calling. Who calls to Jesus Christ? The belly or the Spirit of God? Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. John 6:26. On a side note, John chapter 6 is full of truth that is heartily and readily ignored by the preachers and the teachers and the churchies today. Today, we find salvation as easy to obtain as a burger and fries. In John 6:26, Jesus Christ said that men and women came to him because of their bellies, not because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Wasn't that proving something that Jesus said in John 6:44, that none can come to him unless they're called, led by the Father, by the Holy Spirit? That's a good one to chew on. So who or what called them to Christ? Yeah, Father. Who or what called them to profess his name and be saved, as the sorcerers in the pulpits tell us? Another gospel. Flesh, mind. And today we do not preach the bread of life, we preach bread. What a shame. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus Christ was in the face of people saying that he is the Son of God. And the only way that people could recognize that he was the Son of Man was if Father gave them the eyes to see Jesus in that light. You think about that. You think about God's sovereignty. And you Jesus worshipers had better be awful careful. You have stopped dead center in the middle of this wonderful circle that God has placed here in order to draw those of us that he's called into his fellowship. Yes, we are in Christ, but Christ laid down his life that we could get back to the Father. And if you don't like that one, you may lump it. You may pray about it. You may send me nasty letters. It's the drawing to Jesus Christ from which today's soul butchers claim their preeminence and their glory. Make no mistake. We are called and drawn in our spirits by God the Father through his Spirit to Jesus Christ, and from Jesus back on to the Father. It all returns to the Father. Abba, Daddy. And just where are the preachers and teachers and pastors and prophets in this equation, huh? Where? Do you get an impression that these have a very different role to play in tending to God's sheep? We are saved when we are raised up at the last day. The last day is when we receive the prize, finish the race, complete the journey. Endure until the end means just that, and not a moment sooner. I'm not leading anyone by the nose or dragging them down the road on this. You have to make up your own mind when it comes to what you hear. Especially the whole truth about this thing we have short-sold as salvation today. We have embraced multitudes of facts and easy doctrines which result in spiritual catastrophe. According to Jesus Christ himself, there are only a few who find life. Accordingly, at the explosive rate at which we hear the calls to come to Christ and be saved, we can easily discern that multitudes cannot be a few. I and a brother in the faith scour the net from time to time just to see what they're preaching out there, what the others are preaching, and I'm never disappointed. From mission statements to how you can be saved menus, the eternal security lie glares out from between the lines. Our pulpits have taken the task of the drawing away from God's Spirit and placed it squarely into the hands of deceived men and women and their teachers. I ask you, how can the simplicity of Jesus Christ and the sovereignty of God be preached when the revelation of his faith has been given into the hands of those who follow the 5, 8, and 10 steps to salvation? Jesus told us in John 6:44, no one comes to me except that the Father who sent me draws him. and I'll raise him up at the last day. My question, as always, is, who calls you? Who teaches you? The real saints of God know that they were called by God's Spirit and not by some sales pitch or promise of eternal life on TV or the radio or the street corner. The real saints of God heard the word spoken to them as the Ethiopian heard it from Philip in Acts 8. The Ethiopian heard the call in his heart and spirit. Then Philip was sent to ground him. Paul was sent to ground the hearers of God's call as well. All the apostles did the same. They all were sent. They did not chart out an evangelistic itinerary. They tried. Paul did, remember? He got stomped, didn't he? The Holy Spirit wouldn't allow us. We have bypassed the Holy Spirit of God and went straight to a mass altar call. You know, make a decision for Christ. Our decisions are made in our bellies. Those who preach as a result of their own expedient, self-satisfying decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are passing on the virus of convenience we affectionately call eternal security. This is a doctrine of devils. What are we preaching? The real few saints of God who haven't been saved yet, Matthew 24:13, strive, hold fast, and examine themselves to make their calling and election sure. They persevere, they endure, they suffer with patience. Do Christ's words sound like eternal security? Does this narrow way sound like something Preacher Perfect Hair would preach to you today? Certainly not by any means. And we all hear the name of Jesus Christ everywhere we turn. The proclamation of his name is not the problem. It is the I never knew you that should strike a cold jolt up our spines, folks. It should make us examine ourselves. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 4:14. I warn the saints and only the saints to be careful in your walk. I can't stomach the redundant dreams and visions being touted by some of you as somehow important to your walk. I tell you, the saints, the truth. Not one dream or vision about the times we live in constitutes anything new under the sun. It has all been written down in Scripture so that we wouldn't have to rely on this sensational garbage as part of our spiritual walk with Jesus Christ on his narrow way. Do not even presume to tell me that there is something or anything more important than the God you serve or the Christ you follow today, right now. That's where we live. And today's sensationalism, far from augment the doctrine of Jesus Christ, it distracts. My calling doesn't require money to sustain itself, although I've been accused of asking for money. I believe that fellow is still pulling wings off of flies. If this ministry required money, then it would run on lies and sales, and gift offers, and needless periodical junk having nothing to do with anyone's walk of faith, and not a peep about sound doctrine. Now, if I'm the only one who's crazy enough to simply preach, trust God for provision, and stand aside, then so be it. I'm not going to block the way to the kingdom. That's my calling to the saints. And I wish there were more preachers who would understand that they're running their ministries completely backwards, according to the word in Scripture. We don't call. God does, through his Spirit. We confirm, we edify, we reprove. You know, we state his word. I'm not interested in the greater condemnation, saints. James 3:1. A degree of condemnation. You know, that the annihilationists have all forgotten about. I'm interested in the hope of salvation and glory. And that hope is in a person, Jesus Christ. That hope is in us because of the real Jesus Christ in us. You who have been called and sanctified and given the race to run until the end, know this. Do we understand the gravity of this calling to Christ? Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, 1 Timothy 3:8. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things, 1 Timothy 3:11. Now, but the wives are out there preaching and teaming up with their perfect-haired husbands, their co-pastors. That the aged men be sober and grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, Titus 2:2. That's good advice, preachers. That's good advice, saints. Very sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2:1. What's that? Have a revelation from Christ about something new in the gospel? No. No. Take the truth that has been laid upon your heart and help the sheep walk. Show them. Don't fleece them. It's difficult to walk the path that Paul walked and preach the doctrine that Paul and the others preached. What with the dispensation to throw all maturity to the wind these days, we've pulled out the stops, and every and all doctrine have become acceptable, as long as there's some mention of Jesus Christ and the misunderstood prophecies of the last days. Put you right in business, guys. When are we going to surrender to the God who called us out? We called out ones, or ecclesia, are called out to a narrow path. In the words of Jesus Christ himself. Oh, it's a great hook, yeah. But do we really know what this means? When will we finally acknowledge that our lives were over the moment we heard his call and decided to follow Jesus Christ? We made the choice. But God made the call. We couldn't come to Christ without hearing God's call. Is it truly no longer I that liveth? When will we admit that we haven't encouraged one another in sound doctrine, knowing Christ and him crucified, his ways, his focus upon God alone and his kingdom? That kingdom doesn't include what we've added to it, saints. No other knowledge but that of the walk, the way, the road will mature us or lead us to sound, steady, and grounded minds. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, Paul says to Timothy, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy 4:6. We want Urantia and the New World Order. Though I may bring you into a remembrance of the folly of today's sensationalism seemingly too often, I must preach as Paul did, and care nothing for the economy's relationship to our suffering, which earthly empire rules at this time, the prophecy craze, or the advent of your precious New World Order, and how it applies to prophecy in the latter times. According to some of our teachers, everybody's listed in prophecy in the end times. You know, anybody who's anybody out there politically. Drive you nuts trying to keep up. It was all written once in Scripture, and sometimes it was written more than that. War and famine and pestilence and death is no incentive to seek Jesus Christ. That's the wrong agenda. That's the wrong attitude. Though these four plagues are common to man since the fall of Adam, they're used as a judgment upon those who reject Jesus Christ and have too little or no love for the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 tells us that they received not the love of the truth. Well, hold on to your lug nuts, because this isn't going to be pretty. They received not the love of the truth. And by whom do we receive the love of the truth? By the Spirit of God. Not by taking a stab at it ourselves, friends. And when they are not given the love of the truth to receive by God, they are filled with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and they perish. This scripture is understood two ways. In one form, it alludes to we ourselves conjuring up a love of the truth by which we save ourselves. Okay? The other way alludes to God Himself empowering us by His Spirit, by His mercy, to love the truth. And which one is correct to you? Which one is sound doctrine? Well, you've got to decide that if the truth really matters. It is the love of the truth, Jesus Christ, God, given to us at our calling by God, that gets us saved, friends. Not academic knowledge, not our own power, not the prophets of today or Pastor Perfect Hair. And because, for this cause, they hadn't received the love of the truth from God, through His gift, His Spirit, quote, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. How can a loving God... Watch 'em, folks. Watch 'em. And fear Him as we're commanded in love. Take heed unto thyself, Paul tells Timothy, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16. And in the spirit of remembrance, you're going to get the fact that your soul may be required of you this day. Tomorrow takes care of itself. You're going to get the bulk of what I already have preached to you from the beginning. Without side trips into our modern dispensational world, I will preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified for those ordained to be conformed into His image. I will stress wisdom and piety and humility and meekness and teach as I'm given. Teach the road we walk. If you truly follow Jesus Christ, I believe that you will eventually come to need Jesus Christ more than any teacher, preacher, prophet, or seer, or sage in the world today. And that's the way it should be. Sound doctrine begins with the person of Jesus Christ. And where do we find ourselves, saints? Enchanted by the thoughts of a post-apocalyptic world, or walking a narrow way, quietly, detached from the world, forsaking it, walking now, not walking tomorrow? I hope to be a laborer worth his hire. And lest we be deceived, Luke 10:7 does not imply wages, 401ks, love gifts, tithes to the churches, or any other monetary remuneration. It simply means being made worthy, worth his hire, worthy of being called to the work one is doing in obedience and sincerity and humility as a broke back servant of God. The laborer needn't run from house to house. Go read Luke 10:7 and think about it. And before I go, the narrow way is not a church or a religious regime. You're called to it. It's the walk of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's a hard task just to navigate this straight and narrow, let alone keep from sailing down the off ramps. Jesus Christ is our life. His doctrine is our charge. Sound doctrine is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Sound doctrine is instruction in the way we should walk. Sound doctrine is not dreams, visions, building funds, or the myriad other nonsense I have preached against in the past. I cannot preach to you as one who had already obtained salvation. The wolves do that quite nicely. I preach to you as one of you. And let God's word be the authority over you. I can be cast away, one who can lose his salvation. But for the grace of a merciful God, I'm given a choice to run or to quit. I know I'm in Christ, and that's all I know. That's all I'm going to be assured of. Now I'm running the race. I'm given the hope of glory and the hope of salvation. Colossians 1:27, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. I'm given this hope that I don't quit. And I'm running this race with all those whom God has mercifully called to His Son and this blessed hope. I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I am determined to cultivate no other knowledge. And for the first time in a long time, the way is a little narrower for me too. A little bit more restricted. A little bit harder. And I'm comfortable with that. To the glory of our jealous God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Saints, be not wise in your own conceits, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Romans 6:17. Amen.